Welcome to Canadians Baseball This Week, your one-stop shop for everything baseball here on the home of the Canadians, Sportsnet 650. Here's your host, Rob Fay.
Episode 9 of Vancouver Canadians This Week, right here on Sportsnet 650. I am the aforementioned Rob Fay, and what a thrill to have you joining me this Sunday morning. We got a lot of baseball chatter to get to. I say this every single week that I know what you're thinking. There's no baseball to be had. Why are we having a baseball show here on Sportsnet? But the reality is the news is there if you just peel back the layers of the onion. And this week, I think we've done a pretty good job of getting right to the core of a couple of key situations. On this show today, just the one guest. He is former Vancouver Canadian A.J. Kirby Jones. Now, maybe not a household name to newer Vancouver Canadians fans, but if you were here back in the days of the Oakland A's affiliation back in 2010, just before the Blue Jays came to town, A.J. Kirby Jones set the franchise record for home runs, which to this conversation still stands at 14. He will join us down in Tennessee in Nashville, if memory serves me correct. Very cool insight, and we'll talk about it in the next segment as well, with regards to what baseball players are thinking heading into the draft. Now, you got to remember, it's a five-round draft. Kirby Jones was drafted in the ninth round, so questions abound as to whether or not he would be the type of player that would sign as an undrafted free agent, or maybe go back into the draft for one more year so that he can see if he can't get into those top five rounds a following year. There's a lot of conversation around that, and again, we'll circle on that before the show is done. I'm going to start this show off, though, with a little bit of a reality check. Now, don't get it wrong. This is Vancouver Canadians This Week. So, without saying it, obviously you know that there's only certain roads that I can go down just based on the fact that we are a quote-unquote family show. But I think I would be remiss if I didn't say that right now, minor league baseball as a whole, the Vancouver Canadians, are concerned. And when I say concerned, in addition to everything that's going on globally with this pandemic, the COVID-19, and our thoughts and prayers go out to those who have been affected, and trust me, we understand where we are in the big hierarchy of things when it comes to things that you should be concerned about. I mean, baseball will come back one day, but that one day seems to be getting further and further away. Because if you listen to Dr. Bonnie Henry, if you listen to everybody across the United States with these second waves that are starting to flare up in certain states, I just don't see it. I just don't see Major League Baseball getting off the ground without some rocky roads ahead, and I sure the heck don't see Minor League Baseball finding their way onto the field in 2020. Now, again, can't make an official announcement because we have to wait for the marching orders from Major League and Minor League Baseball. Canadiens President Andy Dunn came on last week and said just as much. Realistically, if the Vancouver Canadiens do not have a season, what does that mean for one of the most storied franchises in the Lower Mainland? How does that affect the organization? How does it affect the fan bases, the advertisers? There is still many questions that needs to be answered. And I sit back and I say to myself, one of the luxuries of being a broadcaster for the Vancouver Canadiens and a member of the organization is that we understand that we are more than just sports. We understand that we have an entertainment component to this, that we actually are the owners of Vancouver's biggest patio, for lack of a better phrase. I mean, Nat Bailey Stadium, beyond the balls and the strikes and the championship banners that hang throughout, it essentially is the city's piece of property where people can come and congregate and get away from life. And I got a sneaking suspicion that the Vancouver Canadians are fast at work looking at alternate plans in the event that the season does not happen. They would be silly not to when you think about it because, again, right smack in the middle of the city, one of the most storied venues in all of British Columbia, and it just cannot sit by the wayside. So I'm going to be very curious to know what the Canadians do in the coming weeks and months to essentially ensure that this building stays active and this organization can stay upright. I will say this. I hope with whatever they come out with that you will support it. Because like many businesses right now, the Vancouver Canadians, considered by some to be a smaller business by comparison to some of the larger teams in the city, they need your support. They really do. And I'm not going to come here with a violin and start playing heartstring music, but I will say that there is no doubt right now that the Vancouver Canadians are sitting here concerned because when you look at baseball as a whole, I don't think Major League Baseball has the answers. I think right now, to be honest with you, baseball is not truly going to get some traction until a vaccine has been produced. And that could be another year. It could be another year and a half. Again, I'm not here to bring doom and gloom, but the reality is that baseball right now has to fall in line with all the other major sports. Basketball, football, hockey, they're all kind of taped together at the hip. And I just don't see a league that has a bona fide solution. There's some great ideas out there, some cool ways of getting some teams together in these, quote, hub cities. But the reality is I don't think they're ready if something goes wrong. As I mentioned the other night, you have to put this, what is it, a 67-point plan? You have to put it into action and be 67 for 67. You cannot have one thing go wrong without somebody coming forward and slamming the brakes on the entire operation. Oh, it's the way that it is. The hard part is that we have been waiting desperately, patiently, hoping that we can see this light at the end of the tunnel. And the reality is you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but there are pitfalls between you and that final step into freedom. And I just sit back and I say, okay, well, somebody's going to have to step to the forefront and do it. Maybe it's the NHL. Maybe it's Major League Baseball, maybe it's the NBA, but for me, the real test of this in North America is what will happen when the NFL decides to stink of camp in their neck of the woods. That is the big dog at the table. You can talk baseball, hockey, basketball all you want. The NFL is what drives the bus when it comes to North American professional sports. So well beyond Nat Bailey Stadium, well beyond the Northwest League, Minor League Baseball, Major League Baseball, the biggest cloud looms over the NFL, who to this point has been actually scheduling-wise very fortunate that the height to date of COVID-19 has come during their offseason. But make no mistake about it, baseball right now does not have the answer. They are sitting around trying desperately, fighting the clock, fighting the pandemic, and in some instances probably even fighting themselves to find the right solution that they can go to their federal governments, both Canadian and American, with a game plan that makes it work. I would be absolutely shocked if the Blue Jays came north this year. Now, let's say hypothetically there is a season that they do try to squeeze in 65 or 70 games. However, I'm not going to put a number on it, but let's look at it from the other side of the equation. There is no way that the Blue Jays are coming to Toronto, because now you got to deal with the border. You got to deal with the quarantines that get involved if you're going to truly have these 14-day quarantines to make sure that what you've traveled away from, you don't bring back with you. I just don't know how the Toronto Blue Jays play a game in Canada this year. It wouldn't surprise me if they were to share a venue. It wouldn't surprise me if they were to play out of Florida. I mean, heck, who knows? The other thing that I was thinking about as I was driving in today, Montreal finally catch an opportunity to share a portion of the season with the Tampa Rays. And now all of a sudden COVID-19 strikes and there's no baseball to be played in Montreal either. This season and who knows, maybe even next season. Frustrating for a fan who has been desperately looking to have baseball come back to La Belle Provence. I think a little closer to home, what stung the other day is I was looking at social media on Twitter and UBC Baseball came out with a video that was headlined by their head coach Chris Pritchett and a number of their players, including their seniors, and UBC Baseball did not get a season this year at all. So the reality is their guys in their final years of eligibility never got to take to the field, and that's got to be an absolute gut punch, because as a sophomore or a junior, you've got opportunity ahead. You get to come back and put on the gold and navy blue. But for seniors, and I don't know, maybe because it was local, it just really stung for me that these guys, some might get drafted, some might not, but their collegiate careers at UBC have come to an end a year too soon. The other thing that I'll say is to those kids who are on scholarship, I hope those monies will never be affected. I hope that the universities don't look at these lost seasons where kids don't get onto the courts or the fields or the diamonds and feel that maybe those scholarships are null and void. Those scholarships have to be honored. And I haven't heard any flare-ups just yet, so I'm assuming that they will be, but that would be a real low blow for any university program or college program to offer a scholarship and then take that scholarship away. And I'm not just talking about to a senior or a junior who is relying on it to finish their education, but to an inbound player coming in from high school or transferring over from a junior college program in certain scenarios, where all of a sudden this organization trying to save money, their athletic department says, well, maybe we're going to have to reduce scholarships temporarily. Maybe we're going to go from 12 to 5 or 12 to 6. And these kids who are looking on getting their post-secondary education kicked off with a little bit of financial assistance, I mean, the reality is those are the kind of things that have to stay at the forefront. And I'm going to be keeping my eye on certain programs to make sure that that doesn't become an issue. The other thing that I will say when it comes to baseball and talking about not having answers is right now there's a lot of money out there when it comes to advertising. There's no doubt this radio station, every radio station in Vancouver is probably experiencing the same thing where there is a reduction in advertising dollars. Now, that is going to go all the way up the totem pole right to the major leagues, and I would imagine that they've got multi-year contracts with a number of companies who can either roll it over, take it into 2021, and they'll try to honor it in that fashion. But there might also be some organizations that are looking to take their money and bring it back. That is a very big pill to swallow for Major League Baseball. It's a very big pill for Minor League Baseball to swallow. I mean, anybody who's got their commitments based on money elsewhere, and now all of a sudden that money's not coming in, that is a major challenge. But I will say this on the flip side of the challenge of pulling your advertising dollars, and I'm not speaking from the baseball perspective, I'm not speaking to you as a guy that works with a baseball organization, I say this more as a broadcaster that's trying to project what the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months looks like. There is going to come a time where sports does take to the field, or the ice, or the diamond. And I promise you this, because everybody is going to be so distanced, for example, media are going to be distanced, fans are not going to be allowed to come to the stadiums. The only conduit between the actual game and getting that information to you is going to be on television and through the radio. And I will say this, pulling your advertising dollars in this pandemic, which would make sense on a lot of fronts, you're going to have to spend, and you're going to want to spend when sports comes back, because you're going to have more eyes than ever before, all looking in the same direction as everybody wants to get their sports on. And what better way to kickstart your comeback from a crazy, crazy 2020 than by buying into an industry whose stock is going to go up very, very rapidly. I look at it like this. If you're going to cut. You got to keep your head above water in some way so you don't drown. But when it comes to advertising dollars and where you should advertise, here's a little tip from me to you. Don't skimp out when it comes to putting dollars back into sport. Realistically, whether it's amateur, professional, Olympic, more eyes are going to be on this than ever before because the venues are going to be closed. Because the venues aren't going to be at capacity. So instead of being at the game, you're going to be watching the game. You're going to be following online. You're going to be listening to the game. This is an awesome opportunity to get in when it's probably relatively cheap and get your opportunity to have a name put out there to the masses who, once this thing finally ends, are going to be looking to get out of the house, looking to spend, and looking to make things happen. All right, very quickly before we go to our break here, and I appreciate you listening to Vancouver Canadiens this week right here on Sportsnet 650, the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels, it came out publicly a couple of days ago that they're about to lay off their minor league ops. That is not a good sign. Reason I bring that one up is usually once there's smoke, there's obviously fire that comes by. Be very curious to know if June 1st isn't the deadline for a lot of these organizations right now, because everybody has tried to furlough and stretch their dollar as far as they can. But I wonder if June 1st isn't where Major League Baseball is going to cut bait or set up shop. And if you've got the Angels announcing to their minor league system, and again, all reported, but out there in the public, that they're about to cut bait with their minor league programs, that says one of two things to me. One, it says they're going to go major leagues. They're going to have that taxi squad of a couple of AAA guys that might be ready to go in the event that there's an injury or a call-up. But after that, everything from AA below is really right now on the editing room floor. I would be more than surprised if it happened. But again, there's an order of operations. So for those who are wondering if there's a Vancouver Canadian season, I don't have an answer for you, unfortunately. But what I do have right now is an order of operation. Major League Baseball is going to have their say. The owners are going to have their say as well. The Players Association is going to get involved. The trickle-down effect is it will go to Pat O'Connor at Minor League Baseball. It'll go to the presidents of the league. North Johnson is the commissioner of the Northwest League. He'll pass it on to the owners, who will pass it downward, and eventually we will get that word out to you. But I would say right now, if I was to have a flag in the sand, I would say that June 1st is going to be a very telling day for sport and Major League Baseball. On the other side of the break, we're going to switch gears. I want to talk to a former Vancouver Canadian, one of the nicest guys I think I've ever come across since I took this gig back in 2007. He suited up for the 2010 Vancouver Canadians. Smart, intellectual, educated, and one heck of a four-hitter in the lineup. AJ Kirby-Jones, the all-time home run leader for Vancouver Canadians in short season history, will join us on the other side of the break. You're listening to Vancouver Canadians This Week, and you're doing it on the home of everything Canadians. That, of course, is Sportsnet 650.
Welcome back to Canadians Baseball This Week, here on the home of Canadians Baseball. Here once again, your host, Rob Fay.
Minutes away from A.J. Kirby Jones, who's going to join us from down in Tennessee. A.J., of course, played for the Vancouver Canadiens back in 2010, hitting 14 home runs, and those 14 have stood the test of time. That is still the Canadiens' short season record a decade later. All right, before we get to AJ, I want to shine light once again on somebody in our community that is making a difference. It's time to announce our recipient of our Canadiens Community Champion, a program that we started just shy of a month ago, making sure that we could shine light on those in our community who are really making a difference. And we would like to acknowledge Laura Leckie. She's our recipient for this week. Now, Laura's been with Fraser Health out at Surrey Memorial Hospital for almost 15 years. In 2012, she became a licensed practical nurse and has helped people in a variety of departments out at SMH. Within the last year, Laura found her true calling and actually started to work in the ER. When COVID-19 hit, Laura was assigned to work in those ER pods, which meant that she was on the front line, wearing PPE for 12-plus hours, testing people with symptoms, providing information to patients, all while ensuring that she was safe as well so that she could go home to her loved ones. When Laura is not working, she's busy with her three-year-old, who, by the way, is a Canadian superfan from what we've heard from her husband. Laura, according to her husband, Peter, works just as hard at home as she does at work. Her other half, of course, Peter, is an RCMP officer serving in Surrey. So juggling the lives of multiple shift workers, taking lots of time and effort, she does it with a smile, a large calendar, and several different colored highlighters. I thought that was a great way to summarize everything that they do to keep their family balanced. So how about this? Through everything, Laura ensures that the family has the most time together that they can and can always get to as many Canadiens games as possible. That came from her husband, Peter Leckie, who nominated Laura for this opportunity. And guess what? We're going to send them a real nice gift basket, including a 10-game nap pack to see the Canadiens whenever they do take the field. We're going to also let her throw that first pitch out at the game that she does decide to come out to. She's going to kick off the whole shebang for the Canadiens that afternoon or that evening. And we're also going to send her out a Hey Y'all prize pack from our good friends at Hey Y'all. So again, my thanks to everybody that is submitting these names. You can go to CanadiansBaseball.com and let us shine light on those in your community that are making a difference. Well, a guy that made a difference just over a decade ago, big first baseman, taken in the ninth round out of Tennessee Tech University. And when he came to Vancouver, it was a bit of a slow start for A.J. Kirby Jones, but once he got hot, just as the summer started to heat up, he heated up as well to the tune of 14 home runs. No Vancouver Canadian in franchise history has matched that, and he joins us now. A.J., first and foremost, I know it's been... Gosh, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years since you've been in Vancouver, but what do you remember about our fine city?
That was my first summer playing professional baseball. So I just remember getting there. The weather was beautiful, a little cold at the beginning, or cooler because I'm from the south with some humidity. The weekends going to Kitsilano Beach, the food, and the city was just overall beautiful from what I remember. I had never been to Canada before. It was my first time.
So, AJ, I wanted to talk to you about a variety of things, but I'm going to start with the upcoming draft for Major League Baseball, because now, as many of us know, it's only going to be 5 rounds. You were drafted in the 9th round, so I guess before we get into what you would have done, what do you think of the new look draft, and would it be a tough pill to swallow for certain players?
That would be tough because, you know, when you go through high school and college, you work your way up and put in all this time and effort to attempt to reach a dream right on draft day to hope your name's called. I know it is a tough time, especially they have a limitation on what you can sign for even as a free agent. So I think that is tough for, you know, these kids that it's almost a double whammy. They've lost their college seasons and now, you know, the draft is implemented in 5 rounds. Plus you're contending with high school kids and junior college kids as well. So I think that's pretty tough.
So, AJ, if you were a guy that was selected in the 9th round and realized that now Major League Baseball's draft is only 5, would you have considered going back for another year? Would you have, you know, taken the extra opportunity to try and bolster your status? How would you have played that out?
Absolutely. I could see a lot of kids, you know, betting on themselves, especially I believe that the draft setup has changed since the time I was drafted, and I believe there are the slotted amounts. It really puts some of the juniors more of in a bind just because as a senior sign, you're kind of limited as well. As a junior, you have a little bit more leverage, but it is making that decision harder for a bunch of guys, especially if you're like me and kind of one of those fringe guys past that 5th round. So you're really going to have to evaluate your options and almost bet on yourself to see what kind of path you're going to partake of.
So you retired in 2015 after a couple of years in independent baseball, but you had a couple of good runs, one with the Oakland A's and then one with the San Diego Padres organization. What would 2020 AJ Kirby Jones tell the guy that just got drafted back in 2010? What would he tell a younger AJ Kirby Jones?
I would say the main thing is learning how to become a professional early on and really getting into a routine, learning yourself as a player, and then just soaking up all of the knowledge that you would get from the coaches and the people who have been around that are more experienced. Coming in fresh out of college, don't really know what to expect. I didn't really know anything about the minor league life. Fresh out of college baseball, which is a lot different. You know, I still love the game, but becoming a professional baseball player with the travel, the expectations, and the business involved, that would be the main thing.
It's a good point. You know, I loved watching you play, and I think I did it because you played with a real tenacity. You played with a ferocity, and when you hit the ball, everything was hard. And, you know, sometimes you look at those guys, and it is just always stats, stats, stats. Were you a stat guy?
I was never a guy that, you know, worried about the numbers. I think the numbers would reflect where I was playing at that time. Now, granted, I know there are kind of some analytical things, but I would probably more focus on production. I believe that around the time when I was in, average was one of those big things as a hitter, your batting average. But now it's kind of more on production, and that the batting averages aren't held to as high regard as they used to be, just in my opinion. So I think there are some things, but one thing that if I was playing now was more focused on production.
I look at the game today, AJ, and I say your game might have been a little early. And what I mean by that is analytically, all of a sudden in the last several years, it's launch angle, it's exit velocity, it's things that, if I remember correctly, were right in your wheelhouse. I mean, I guess my question to you was, do you think your game is actually better suited today than it was even 10 years ago?
I would say yes. The way that my game was evolved is I was kind of one of those three true outcome players, right? So there was some production with the power, there were walks, and then along with that came the strikeouts. I would say yes, I am kind of a little bit of how the game is evolving right now. But, you know, that's just kind of the nature of the business and how the game and just changes over time.
So, AJ, you retired a couple of years ago. What has life been like after baseball?
So for me, I would say my transition was a little easier after San Diego when I got released. I went and played independent baseball for 2 years, which I really had a great experience just because in independent baseball, it was more so about winning, not that the minor league was not about winning. You know, you wanted to win. I've had a nice playoff run when I was in Vancouver, and they had some championship teams the following year. So independent baseball is all about winning. Organizational and professional baseball, it's about grooming players to get to the major league. So I was able to leave on my own terms, and I still had school to finish. So the year that I decided to hang them up, I went back to college, jumped right into school. And during that time, I actually helped coach at my alma mater, Tennessee Tech, for that summer and helped some of those college guys. So I was still able to be around the game. So it helped my transition a little easier. And now I'm just a fan kind of on the side and help out with little league practices here or there, just to kind of be around the game and still obviously a fan.
Well, more than anything, AJ, I'm just happy that you stopped by and even for a couple of minutes, just let us know what's going on. I love going down memory lane. I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of good first basemen come through here. Everybody from Casey Clemens, Balbino Fuenmayor, Art Charles, but AJ, you were the guy that when you were hot, you were as hot as a pistol and one of the most enjoyable players that I've ever watched. AJ, thank you, my friend, for doing this.
Hey, same to you. Anytime you have my number, you can give me a call.
Well, there he is, AJ Kirby Jones, former Vancouver Canadian. And I'll tell you what, he's been saying to me over the years that you got to get down to Tennessee. You got to see what's going on in Nashville. And you know what? It is a very big hockey market. We talk about, so I voice the NHL sports video game on EA Sports. Been doing it for the last 10 years. What's interesting is some of these players will realize it down the road and then we'll start talking hockey and then all of a sudden, they'll be like, man, you know what? I never would have thought that my market would have gotten into hockey. And it's funny because I've had these conversations with people that live in Las Vegas. And I've had people that have had this conversation with me for years now about going down to Smashville, as in Nashville. And, you know, you always think of where you're going to go for a vacation. And I know with COVID-19, we're all thinking different than we did even a year ago. But I would love to go. That is definitely a bucket list. My bucket list would include going to Nashville, Tennessee, going to Memphis, Tennessee to see a little history from the music side, and then going down and seeing a basketball game between Duke and North Carolina. And I would love to see it at Duke, at Cameron, because I'd love to be down with the kids, and I know that I can't, but I'd love to be down with the kids jumping around with the Cameron Crazies. What is your favorite bucket list item when it comes to sports? Is it going to see the Masters? Would it have been going to see a game at Yankee Stadium before they shut it down and went to New Yankee Stadium? Would it be seeing a game at Fenway? I mean, there's so many bucket list items when it comes to the world of sports. And I know that every show on every sports radio station has talked about this ad nauseum, but I do think it's a cool conversation. And I've got so many bucket list items I gotta go. I just don't know how I'm ever gonna be able to knock them off. But at the same time, it's cool even just to think of going down to Nashville and watching a hockey game in a market that seems to be pretty crazy about the game. All right, we'll take our break here. When we come back, we're going to do something a little unique. It's been a long time since we've heard baseball on the radio, Vancouver Canadiens baseball in particular. So on the other side of the break, we're going to take you back to 2011, a year after A.J. Kirby Jones went with the Oakland A's one direction and the Vancouver Canadiens went the other direction with the Toronto Blue Jays. Year one of the Blue Jays-Canadiens relationship was really second to none. We're going to take you to the last innings of both the West Division Final and then the Northwest League Championship, so that you can get a little baseball on your radio and we can have a walk down memory lane and enjoy some brighter days. I'm Rob Fay, and this is Vancouver Canadiens This Week, and you're listening to it on the home of everything Canadiens, Sportsnet 650.
Canadiens Baseball This Week, here on the home of Canadiens Baseball. Here once again, your host, Rob Fay.
Now, just before we went to break, I said we're going into the time machine. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, people have texted me afterwards or tweeted me, and they said, hey, Fay, what's the story with you referring to the time machine? Now, anytime that I pull back interviews from years gone by, I just want to let you know, hey, this isn't a live interview. This is me going into the vault, pulling something forward that I thought was worthy of this show. So it's the 10th anniversary of the Toronto Blue Jays and Vancouver Canadiens getting together. Yeah, imagine that. 10 years since Aaron Sanchez, Noah Syndergaard, Marcus Stroman. There's so many different guys, if you go over the 10 years, that have stopped by Vancouver before making it to the bright lights of the major leagues. So it's a special year because 10 means that you got there. You've done something significant with an organization. 4 championships, more games played than anybody else in the Northwest League, and attendance records, we've got 8 of them in the past decade, and I still equivocate some of that to being a partner with the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, let's get to it. Here is, and I want to take you, quote-unquote, into the time machine. Let's go back to 2011. It is the postseason. Vancouver was taking on the best team in the Northwest League, the Eugene Emeralds, in a 3-game series. Game 1 in Vancouver, Eugene boat raced Vancouver 8-3. So you thought going down the interstate for 2 games against the best team of the league at PK Park that it was a foregone conclusion that this playoff run was going to be short. Oh, but in Game 2, Vancouver showed a little bit of teeth and got even in the series. And here we go to Game 3. Aaron Sanchez has just finished pitching 5 fantastic innings. Kevin Pillar is in center field, and the next thing you know, Vancouver's up 5-0 with 3 outs to get to find their way to the championship. But Eugene would not make it easy. So I'm picking this one up with 1 out in the bottom of the 9th, and Eugene has loaded the bases. It was absolutely one of the most tense baseball games that I've ever broadcast. This is me calling a game 10 years ago. My apologies in advance. It was one of those games I will just never, ever forget.
Hermison misses again. So here it is. Bases loaded. 1 out, bottom of the 9th. The C's, who had a 5-0 lead in this game, have watched the Emeralds score 4 on answer. So Permison's been in this situation before. He's the closer. He's the money man right now for the Canadiens. The crowd has not sat down for about 5.5 minutes. They have watched their hometown team fight. It's a left-handed hitter in the form of Travis Whitmore. Again, 1-for-3 in this game. a 200 hitter this Northwest League season. The first pitch from Permison is laced but foul down the third baseline. I don't think I've taken a deep breath since the fifth. But this is the greatest playoff game the Canadians have been in. What a fantastic night for baseball. The season on the line for both these teams. 0-1 missed outside, and the count goes to 1-1. Listening to Canadians baseball tonight. Permison in a world of trouble. The 1-1. Swing and a miss. The count goes to 1-2. The Canadians could win the West Division crown with a double play. The bases are loaded. They are still up by one. But the margin for error is zero. They cannot afford anything to go against their will. And now Whitmore calls for time just before Permison offers up to the plate. My goodness, my goodness. What a game. Man, oh man, what a moment. The 1-2. Backdoor curveball, and it just missed. He went with his bread and butter, and it just didn't have enough twist to it to find the strike zone. Whitmore is going to see a pretty good pitch here on 2-2. Permison to the plate. Backdoor curveball, and it's there. He got him. And Whitmore's going to get ejected. I can feel it in a second. Curveball got him. Whitmore is completely in the face of the umpire. So that is the second straight out. And Pat Murphy's going to try and have a conversation with the home plate umpire. And it was a delayed call. There was an extra minute between the ball hitting Rankin's glove and the umpire pulling the trigger. Whitmore is irate, and Murphy, in a much calmer scenario, is having a conversation with the home plate umpire. So now there are two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. This is, as a little kid, the moment you dreamt of, whether you're the closer or the hitter. And now, Whitmore has worked his way back onto the field, and I'm not sure if that's going to bode well for him. As Nelson Cruz, the pitching coach of all things, comes out and deals with the Eugene Emerald. So this is an interesting moment in the fact that the Eugene Emeralds had all the pressure on the world right on the Canadians, but yet they're yelling their way out of this moment. So now Murphy's having an argument with the first base umpire. And they're trying to freeze Permison. It makes perfect sense. So Permison's been in the middle of the diamond for probably about 2 minutes now. He hasn't thrown a pitch. He simply looked at a rosin bag and watched the festivities. So Matt Colantonio is the only thing between one of these teams going to the championship. Colantonio in this game is 0-3 with a walk. The West will be won right here in this moment. A left-handed hitting catcher for the Eugene Emeralds has the tying run 90 feet away. The win is out at second base. All the Canadians have to do is get through Matt Colantonio, and they will play for the championship on Friday. Permison's back on the mound now. The closer for the Canadians comes set. It's a curveball in the dirt. Rankin put his entire body. He did not want that ball to get away from him. A 1-0 pitch to Matt Colantonio will wait as he steps out of the box. wearing a white number 8 jersey. The left-handed hitting catcher, he's looking out to the closer for the Canadians. Nobody had more saves than this man on the mound. Ball hit out to the shortstop. Field it cleanly. The throw to Birdie, and we're going to the championship. A 6-4 putout in the middle of the diamond. And the Vancouver Canadians will play the Tri-City Dust Devils on Friday night for a chance to bring the ring to Vancouver.
So from Eugene, after all that euphoria, there was no rest for the wicked because we had to board the bus and go inward into Central Washington to take on the Tri-City Dust Devils, a team that had the best pitching by far in the Northwest League. Well, Vancouver, they got the win that they needed and all of a sudden came back to Vancouver with a game in hand. And in game two, a blown call, a missed opportunity for the Vancouver Canadians, and it went to a third and deciding game. So here it is, Vancouver up 9-2, heading to the top of the ninth at a sun-drenched Nat Bailey Stadium. And yeah, moments away from their first Northwest League championship.
Well, back here at Scotiabank Field, it is 9-2 Vancouver as we go to the top of the ninth, and the closer, Drew Permison, comes in. It is not a save situation, but it's an opportunity to put a pretty good arm into the game and try to lock this one down. Vancouver, you've waited since 1999 for a championship here at Scotiabank Field. In 04 and 05, we were close, but I got to think we're in pretty decent shape here. So Permison will deal with the 3-4-5 of the order for the Dust Devils, who are looking for a miracle here at 33rd in Ontario. The first pitch from the Perminators, a fastball that is up in the zone. His moniker, Perminator, came from the guys up here in the press box when they realized that now that we're with the Blue Jays, it's a version of Tom Hankey's Terminator. It fit perfectly, and it's kind of stuck. The 1-0 is a fastball that is in, and the count goes to 1-1. Massey, a left-handed hitting outfielder slash first baseman, awaits the 1-1. It misses, and the count goes to 2-1. Here at the ballpark, just a trace of cloud. It's a beautiful blue sky. How appropriate that at 3:30 in the afternoon, the Canadians are just outs away from a Northwest League championship. Permison's second appearance in the playoffs. His only other outing was a little bit of a tumultuous one. Canadians were up a couple, but boy, they let the Eugene Emeralds almost take this West Division championship right from them. But the Perminator got tough at the right time and got the outs. High chopper that's going to go into right field. So a leadoff single off the bat of Tyler Massey is right now the Dust Devils know they got nothing to lose. So Jared Simon steps up. Dave Pano, the hitting coach for the Vancouver Canadians, up a couple of steps from the top dugout step. He will yell at the infielders just for their defensive alignment. Where are they going to play here? Randy Schwartz has come into the game at first base for the Vancouver Canadians, a defensive substitution. Everybody else holding serve right now. Pierce Rankin still behind the plate. You got Pilar in center, bookended by Balagod and Newman in the outfield. Permison, the right-hander, working from the stretch. Fastball missed outside, and the count goes to 1-0. Permison would love nothing more than a ground ball here off the bat of Jared Simon, who does have good speed. He might be a tough cookie to double up. Swing and a miss, and the count goes to 1-1. You look back to 2007 when Jake Kerr and Jeff Mooney purchased this team, and shortly after introduced Andy Dunn as the president of the Vancouver Canadians, what that meant to this city and to this organization. Curveball in for a strike, and the count goes to 1-2. Took a couple of years to really right the ship. Graham Wall had a hand in this. Jason Takifman, J.C. Fraser, Tom Archibald, and Trevor Sheffield as well. The 1-2. Got him. Jared Simon watched a fantastic slider catch the corner. And now there are one out. Canadians could win the championship on a ground ball if they can turn a double play. Seas are two outs away from the Northwest League championship. Alan Bailey and his whole ticketing staff downstairs probably listening right now. Get out onto the field and enjoy this. Curveball in for a strike, and the count goes to 0-1, and the crowd builds with every pitch. Permison looking into the catcher, Pierce Rankin. Every Canadian at the top step of the dugout, they know they're close. Pitch fouled off. The count now goes to 0-2 to Jordan Rivera. Rivera is 0-3 in this game with three strikeouts, all swinging. He struck out in the second, fourth, and seventh. Think of what this Canadiens team has been through this year. From the fight in Spokane to losing out on the first half pennant. Struck him out. 0-4. And here we go. Vancouver is one out away from a Northwest League championship. Man, oh man, how exciting is this? Every fan in the stadium on their feet right now. The pitch from Permison to Jerron Shepherd in for a strike. Every single person in this stadium is on their feet right now. 11 years in the making. And the 0-1 missed. All those housing families watching down the third baseline. Our longtime crazies down at Section 10, Love and Life. Making this building a real hard place to play. Curve ball in for a strike. And the C's are a strike away from the championship. Permison steps on the mound. Runner at first, nobody's even close. The 1-2 from Permison in the dirt. Canadians with their hats on backwards down the third base line. The bullpen, that's only a handful of them down the line. Shepherd, the last hope for the Dust Devils, who trail by seven. 2-2 pitch from Permison. Slow roller, it's up the middle. Birdie fields it to open to the seas of the champions of the Northwest. Vancouver, you have a champion that calls Scotiabank Field home. As the Vancouver Canadians, in convincing fashion, win the league by a score of 9-2. It's a sea of white and red tonight in John Schneider. If you're listening back in New Jersey, your boys did it. All the way to the end. For the first time since 1999, the seas of the champions.
So there it is. Couple of sights and sounds. It makes you miss baseball, doesn't it? Couple of sights and sounds from Nat Bailey Stadium and throughout the Northwest League. It has been such an enjoyable decade of Canadiens baseball alongside the Toronto Blue Jays. And our fingers are crossed that baseball resumes, even if it's just at the Major League level for 2020. But more than anything, just a great opportunity to walk down memory lane. I think even next week we should play the 2012 series, and then the 2013s. We got lots of championship footage. I say that with all due respect to some of the teams in this league that have not garnered the amount of championships that we have won, which means everybody. All right, on behalf of everybody, my thanks to AJ Kirby Jones and all those guys back at Nat Bailey Stadium working hard towards whatever the future holds for us. I'm Rob Fay. For the final time, you've been listening to Vancouver Canadiens This Week, right here on the home of everything Canadiens, Sportsnet 650. Have yourself a great morning.